everyone, and welcome back to Murder, Mother and Me, where each week we will dive into some of the most infamous murders, mysteries and everything in between.
So if, like us, you are intrigued by all things true crime, you're in the right place.
I'm your host, Josh.
And I'm your other host, Patty. I'm the mother.
And I'm the me.
As always, thank you for all the support so far on our podcast.
Please don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Murder, Mother and Me Podcast. Share with your friends and write us a review.
But only if it's a good one.
This week, we are talking about a case that happened in 2015. Here is an interesting fact about that year.
Queen Elizabeth II became Great Britain's longest reigning monarch in history. Elizabeth became queen at age 25 after her father's death, King George VI, on February the 6th, 1952.
Would you consider yourself a royalist?
Yes.
That's it.
I love the Queen. I don't like all of them, but the Queen, I think, did an impressive job of being the head of the country, like a stable figurehead, you know, for that long.
I just have zero interest in the royal family, like zero.
Well, I think the school I went to, both schools, junior and senior school, the senior school especially, you know, were big on royalty, and we had a big, massive, big painting of the Queen in the vestibule as she came in, the entranceway, and then we'd always, national anthem was played every day in assembly, so we'd all have to sing that.
You know? Every day?
Every day, yeah.
I just want to say as well, the reason my voice sounds like this is because I've got a chest infection and I'm very ill, but I'm still here.
Yeah, and that's got nothing to do with the Queen.
No, nothing, but I just wanted to state why I sound like this.
And also, an interesting fact about the Queen. One day I was going into town on the 86 bus, right, and it pulls up by the Philharmonic Hall.
You've told me this before.
I'm going to tell you again, okay. It pulls up by the Philharmonic Hall, and just by chance, it pulled in at the lights. And the Queen was visiting that day, which I didn't know. And she was there right in front of me, probably about, you know, 15 feet away from me, and an unobstructed view with her lady in waiting. And she had like a little bag, and it was just the Queen. And, you know, she looked like the Queen because she was the Queen, but it's just, she was just exactly the same in person. And I was so taken aback that I shouted all over the bus, "It's the Queen!" And then everyone started looking at the Queen, so...
When was it that she actually died? Was it 2 years, 3 years ago? 2 years ago?
It wasn't long after COVID, was
it? Wasn't long, no, because I remember I was shooting a movie in London, and because we were filming on Regent Street, which is one of the biggest, most busy streets in central London, we were actually in rehearsals for this movie on the day that she died, and I specifically remember all of our phones buzzing, you know, because the news was going off saying the Queen's died, and because it was, our shoot was in central London, they postponed the entire movie out of a sign of respect for the Queen's passing.
Well, I think they would have had to have done that, or they would have all been dragged to the tower, wouldn't they? So you can't do that on the day the Queen died. I think she was probably ill for a while before, but we just didn't know because it all seemed quite unexpected, didn't it? And because she'd been there my entire life, so she was there when I was born, and through every phase of my life, the Queen's always been there. It was just very strange for her suddenly not to be there.
Right, everyone, let's get on with this week's case. This is the mysterious disappearance of Henry McCabe. On the evening of September the 7th, 2015, 32-year-old Henry McCabe vanished after a night out. His last known contact was a disturbing voicemail to his wife, filled with strange growls and screams. 2 months later, his body was discovered in Rush Lake with no signs of injury. But before we go any further, let's go right back to the beginning. Henry McCabe was a 32-year-old Liberian immigrant living in Mounds View, Minnesota. He was a family man, a husband, a father, and a hard-working auditor for the Minnesota Department of Revenue. By all accounts, Henry was a responsible and ambitious individual, well-liked by friends and colleagues. Henry had lived in the United States for several years, building a life with his wife, Corrine McCabe, and their two children. He had a steady job, a home, and a strong connection to the Liberian community in Minnesota. His friends described him as friendly and outgoing, and he was known to have a love for music, social gatherings, and spending time with his family. Despite this seemingly stable life, Henry had recently voiced concerns about financial difficulties and pressures at work. While his family and friends didn't believe these issues were severe enough to push him towards anything drastic, it's worth noting that stress can sometimes manifest in unexpected ways. Then came Labor Day weekend in September of 2015, when everything took a dark and mysterious turn. Just sounds like a normal fella, doesn't he, Henry?
Yeah, he's around about the same age as you, isn't he, as well? I always think that makes it worse somehow, because you can kind of put yourself in the position more. But I've got to be honest, I thought he was a librarian. You kept saying it, and I was thinking, what was he a librarian?
No, he's librarian.
I know, but I thought you said librarian. I had this image of him, like, with loads of, like, books under his arm going along.
He just sounds like a normal family man.
Yeah, straightforward, minding his own business, and then suddenly he was gone.
On the evening of September the 6th, Henry went out with his friend William Kennedy and a few others to a nightclub in Spring Lake Park, Minnesota. It was supposed to be a casual night out, just drinks, music, and good company. Henry reportedly drank heavily that night, more than he typically would, according to friends. Witnesses at the club described him as being in high spirits but visibly intoxicated. The night went on, and at around 2 a.m, William Kennedy claims he drove Henry to a gas station in Fridley, Minnesota, and dropped him off there. But why? Some reports suggest that Henry's wife, Corrine, had taken his wallet earlier to prevent him from spending too much money. Others say Henry may have insisted on being dropped off, but that remains unclear. Regardless of the reason, William left Henry alone at a gas station, intoxicated, in an unfamiliar area, and without his wallet. That was the last confirmed sighting of Henry McCabe alive. There are conflicting accounts about why Henry was abandoned at the gas station.
Why do you think it was?
Well, that's just a bit... I mean, my initial thought is maybe they've gone there to take some money out of a cash machine or something.
But why would he leave him there? I mean, why would you leave anyone there that was so intoxicated? That's just an accident waiting to happen, isn't it?
Well, that's what I'm saying. My initial thought was maybe they've gone to get some money, but then he didn't have his wallet, so that kind of debunks that, doesn't it?
But the main question is, no matter why they went to that gas station, why was he left there? Why would a friend do that? Aren't your friends supposed to look after you? So
That is a bit bizarre, and especially if they're saying, you know, he was visibly intoxicated as well, and he was drinking more than usual.
Yeah, and he had no money to get from there, so what did they think he was going to do?
What a weird place to leave your friend as well, at a gas station. There's something creepy about that to me.
There's something weird about why he was left there. Obviously, his friend, is it William, didn't want to be with him, and just dumped him off there, but we don't know why, do we? But why would you even do that to a friend? You'd make sure they got home safely, wouldn't you, so...
Well, I think, why are they even at a gas station anyway when they're on the night out? And it's 2 o'clock in the morning. Why have they gone to a petrol station?
Well, he's dropped him off there, hasn't he? Maybe he said he was going to take him home or something. And
or maybe he said, oh, we just need to stop here so I can get a bit of petrol or something.
And he's just left him there.
Don't know.
Maybe Henry went to the loo and came back out and he was gone. Isn't that awful, though? I mean, because for one thing, if he was that drunk, he could have wandered into traffic or somebody could have assaulted him or anything, taken advantage of me. So you just wouldn't do that to a friend. I wonder if Henry's been a bit belligerent and stuff before, maybe, and he's just wanted him to go away, basically.
William Kennedy later told authorities that Henry insisted on being let out of the car. However, Henry's wife, Corrine, and others were sceptical. Why would he voluntarily choose to be left at a gas station, especially while drunk and vulnerable? Another disturbing detail, the gas station had no surveillance footage showing Henry there. No one at the station that night remembered seeing him. If he was really dropped off, why was there no evidence of it? Do you know what? That's a good point, to be fair, because they're just taking William's word for it.
So, I didn't know that part of the story.
Me neither, until now.
Right, so that changes things somewhat, doesn't it?
So, there's actually no proof that William ever did drop Henry off at a gas station?
In William's defence, if somebody insisted on getting out of the car, you still wouldn't let them. But if you got a bit sort of volatile, then you may very well think, okay, then we'll, you know, just get out then. But when you're drunk, sometimes you don't know what you're doing, do you? So you'd still try to not do that to him because he's clearly, like, his full faculties aren't about him. So, but looking at this now, it seems like he probably wasn't even in the car.
And also it says there was no surveillance footage showing Henry at the gas station at all.
Yeah.
So someone's lying.
Yeah, because he would have had to get out the car at some point, wouldn't he? So he would have been picked up on some kind of security camera, wouldn't he? William's looking very suspicious at the moment. Another weird Willy.
At 2:28 a.m, just minutes after being left at the gas station, Henry McCabe's wife received a voicemail from his phone. It wasn't a typical voicemail. The recording was horrifying, filled with guttural groans, moans of pain, growling, and incomprehensible noises. There were screams as if Henry was being attacked or tortured. The most chilling part came toward the end of the message, when a calm, deep male voice said two words, "Stop it." Then silence. Corrine, terrified by what she had heard, immediately contacted authorities. When the voicemail was analysed, experts couldn't determine if the sounds were purely human. Some believed parts of the recording resembled underwater or muffled speech, raising the question, was Henry in water when the call was made? Despite forensic analysis, no clear explanation for the sounds in the voicemail has ever been found. Who was the voice in the recording, and what exactly was happening to Henry during those terrifying moments? Okay, so I've just listened to this voicemail message because I've never actually heard it, and it is one of the freakiest, creepiest things I've ever heard in my life. So I'm going to play a clip of this for you now so that you all can experience what we've just experienced. And just so you know, it's just a shortened version because the full audio has never been released to the public. And in the full audio, apparently Henry does mention about the fact that he's been shot, which will come into play later on. But here is a clip of the voicemail. Just a quick warning that this voicemail does contain graphic content, so please listen with caution.
Well, that was one of the creepiest things I've ever heard. It doesn't even at points sound human, does it?
Well, that's one of the main things I think about this case, is that those noises that you're hearing in that voicemail, it literally sounds like, you know, like the film Alien or something. It sounds like the noises that those extraterrestrial beings make.
Yeah, it sounds like a creature, doesn't it, rather than a person. But then I think, could it just be one of those things where your phone plays up and, you know, you get that. Sometimes I get like a rushing wind sound through the phone, or it's like a tape unwinding or something.
That is just, even the, obviously the noises are described as animalistic, but that doesn't even sound animalistic to me. It sounds extraterrestrial. It sounds like something from another bloody planet.
I mean, where did this take place though? Because he was allegedly dropped off at a petrol station. This is not clearly not a petrol station. So where was he when this happened, do you know?
Well, no one knows. That's the whole mystery about this case. I think even if your phone was to play up or something, those noises are just like noises I've actually never heard before. I've never heard a phone make that noise.
But there is a possibility that it could have been some kind of animal attack, because animals can make very strange noises, and I don't know in this part of the world what animals would be out there roaming wild, so it could be that, couldn't it?
And let's just touch on the fact as well that in the full voicemail, he does mention being shot. So I think that's quite interesting as well to think about. You know, being shot and these animalistic noises, they just don't really match for me.
But if he was shot, couldn't those animalistic noises be coming from Henry himself? Because who knows what kind of sound you can make when you're in that much pain?
They could be, yeah. And as far as I'm aware, when we've described a male voice saying stop it, as far as I believe, it was Henry himself that was saying stop it. So,
well, they can find that out by voice recognition technology, surely. So they reckon that was Henry saying stop it. So that would indicate something was happening to him.
Some kind of attack, at least.
Yeah.
For weeks after the voicemail, authorities searched tirelessly for Henry. Police, volunteers and search dogs combed the areas surrounding the gas station and beyond, but no major leads surfaced. Witnesses came forward with possible sightings of a man matching Henry's description walking alone in the early morning hours, but none of these could be verified. Then, on November the 2nd, almost 2 months after he disappeared, Henry's body was found. A kayaker discovered Henry McCabe's body floating in Rush Lake, about 6 miles from where he was last seen. His body had no signs of trauma. No gunshot wounds, no stab wounds, no broken bones. Nothing to suggest he had been attacked or struggled. His cause of death was ruled an accidental drowning, but here's where things get strange. The voicemail, the missing surveillance footage, the distance between the gas station and the lake, it doesn't add up. If Henry had drowned accidentally, how did he end up in a lake 6 miles away? And why did the voicemail sound like he was in distress or under attack? Many, including Henry's family, weren't convinced by the official ruling. I think rightly so as well, to be honest. I'd be asking so many questions.
Well, they searched for him for 2 months, but they never found that body, and they were searching the surrounding areas. And if he was only found 6 miles away, I mean, 6 miles away is not that big a distance, is it?
No, 6 miles is a fair distance, but definitely within a search radius, I would imagine.
I would have thought they'd have found him before that, Well, it kind of just makes sense. I suppose that could be true if he was dropped off at the gas station, that he could have got 6 miles, you know, within a day or so. But then there's no footage of him. I don't think he was at the gas station personally. I think he's been dumped off somewhere else.
I think I would agree with that. I don't think he was ever at that gas station. But then it makes me think, well, the only reason we believe that he was at the gas station is because this William fella said he was.
So was William involved in this? Or did he just feel guilty because he'd not dropped him at a gas station and dumped him off in a field somewhere and drove away? And maybe that's why he's not telling the truth. I think if William was involved, he's obviously been investigated. So, you know, they can't disprove or prove. I would have thought the fact that there was no visible, you know, sighting of him at the gas station would make him a prime suspect though. But obviously they didn't have any evidence.
Yeah, I think, like you've just said, they've obviously done their due diligence, haven't they, and investigated them and not come up with anything. So what? I don't know what else they can do about that.
That doesn't mean he wasn't involved though, does it? Just means they've not got enough evidence to prove it.
And let's talk about the state of the body as well, or the lack of evidence on the body. It says there's no signs of any kind of struggle, attack. There's no wounds to his body. That is bizarre. For the voicemail that we've just heard and the noises that you can hear and him saying stop it, and then obviously he spoke about being shot, and then there's absolutely nothing on his body. That is so weird.
But it makes you wonder, doesn't it? Was he not having some kind of psychotic episode then? How much alcohol did he actually drink? How, you know, he was definitely drunk, wasn't he? But I don't think it'd make you like that, would it, mate?
Well, I was going to say, can you be that drunk that you think you've been shot?
Weird, isn't it?
Have you been shot?
Just sitting randomly staring into space. I'm just trying to imagine, like, what would make you think that you'd been shot? Maybe if somebody hit you with something, you know, maybe he thought he was shot.
Well,
in his mental state, the way he was.
We're 8 weeks down the line now, so he's been missing for 2 months. Could something have happened where the marks are not visible anymore?
No, if he's been shot, there'd be a bullet.
No,
zone,
I'm not talking about being shot. I'm just talking about being attacked.
No, there would definitely
be
signs.
There would
be
some kind of sign, wouldn't there? Yeah. So
absolutely, yeah.
It just doesn't add up to me at all.
But when you listen to that voicemail, he clearly does think he's getting attacked.
Well, it sounds like he's getting attacked, or it sounds like...
Well, you can understand why, because it actually sounds like that. It's those noises, they just creep me out.
Yeah, the noises are what is, like, the crux of this case, really, isn't it? What are those noises, and where did they come from? And why did he believe that he was being attacked if he wasn't? Because there's no sign that he ever was.
Surely they've had some kind of experts on this, though, to analyse this tape. They must have come up with something, you know... Us just listening to it the way it is, I mean, they is one thing, but they go into it, don't they, and apply different methods of, you know, technology to it. So surely they must have some theory about what happened. But there's no marks on them. That's what I can't understand.
Going back to him being found in water, could the noises have been something with the phone going in the water with him or something like that, and creating some kind of, I don't know, something to do with the electric of the phone?
Possibly. It could, you know... Normally phones stop working, don't they, when they're in water, so...
I think another option in my mind is that maybe he was drowned by someone, and that's why there's no marks. Who's to say that someone's not sat there with their hand on his head, pushing him underwater?
Yeah, but the official cause of death was ruled as drowning.
Exactly.
Probable drowning.
Probable drowning, so therefore, that doesn't mean that someone else is not involved.
So you mean that could have been the attack?
That could have been the attack. Someone was fighting with him in the water. Doesn't mean that they necessarily needed to leave a mark, but... You know,
that could actually explain those weird noises, because if you're putting someone's head in the water and they're trying to speak, it could be an explanation.
Or potentially they're trying to scream underwater.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It could be those weird noises. But
I know I just came up with that, but the noises still don't sound like that to me.
Possibly, though, the reason he said he was shot, maybe he was confused, but maybe someone had a gun and, you know, he's seen the gun, and maybe that's where that comes in. Just a thought, you know.
Several theories have emerged over the years. Number one, accidental drowning. Perhaps Henry wandered off in a drunken state, stumbled into the lake, and drowned. But how does that explain the voicemail? Number two, foul play. Some believe Henry was attacked and possibly forced into the water. The stop it voice on the voicemail suggests he wasn't alone. Number three, paranormal or unknown forces. Some theorists believe the guttural sounds and eerie audio hint at something beyond human comprehension. Number 4. Police cover-up or hidden clues. Was there an undisclosed struggle? And could evidence have been ignored or concealed? I want to touch on the paranormal theory, to be honest.
I thought you might somehow. Well, is this normally my territory?
Well, that's why I want to touch on it, because I think if anyone's to believe that, it's you. I don't personally think it's that. However, once you've heard those noises in the voicemail, it's hard to think that it could be anything other than something that we can't comprehend.
Well, who knows what's out there? I mean, I would have thought if the experts had analysed it and they can't come up with a rational explanation, then, as I say, you know, I'm open to any theory, really.
I mean, there is no explanation for those noises right now. No one's been able to come up with an explanation. So therefore, it has to be something that we don't understand.
Stranger things have happened. So, you know, people have witnessed things and experienced things. And whether you believe them or not is up to you. But there's clearly more to this world than we know about. So who's to say that's not true?
So what do you think it is then?
I think he was definitely drunk, but I suspect his friend strongly, because as a friend, I don't know why you would drop someone off at a gas station with no money at 2 o'clock in the morning, clearly when they were under the influence of alcohol to that extent. And William had Henry's possessions, didn't he? He had his car keys. He said he took them because he didn't want him to drive. How was he supposed to be getting home if he didn't have any money or credit cards or anything? He was the last person to be seen with him. What he said was that he dropped him off at the petrol station, but there was no visual evidence of that, even though there were security cameras. And he said his name, didn't he? I think in the unedited version of that audio, I think he said William's name. His nickname was it Pappas or something?
I think it was Pappas, yeah. There's something in the unredacted version where they think that the most distinguishable word that they can make out is Pappas, which is William's nickname.
So that's a bit strange. That suggests that he was still with him at that point. Or I suppose he could have been shouting his name for help because he was the last person he was with. But if you put all those things together, that's pretty weird. And I know they can't prove it and there's not enough evidence there to maybe press charges or whatever, but it does seem strange to me. So go for the logical first. That's the most logical scenario to me.
Well, I think it's illogical. Is that a word? Illogical. I think it's illogical to think that he'd wandered 6 miles being so drunk and just fell into this lake. That to me doesn't make any sense.
So if that scenario is true, then there must have been some disagreement with him or some reason why he's done that, but that's not come to light.
I think he was attacked in some sense of the word. I'm not 100% sure whether it was William or it could have just been a random encounter. You don't know. Like you said, stranger things have happened. It doesn't, even though things are pointing towards William, it could have just been a random person as well. But I do think something's happened whereby he felt like he was in danger and he was either held under that water, or I believe that attack has happened near that lake.
I do. I think what happened was, if his friend isn't to blame for actually, you know, him being dead, I think he's dropped him off somewhere other than that. He's just told him to get out of the car or whatever. And it could have been an opportunistic attack by somebody who maybe wants to rob him or something. He had no wallet with him, so there was nothing to take. He might have even had a gun. Was sort of pushing him towards the river maybe, and that's where the attacks actually happened. I mean, if he was attacked the way you can hear on the audio, that's what it suggests anyway. How did he even get in the river then? So he must have been near to the river to end up in the river, unless he was transported there. But it makes more sense that he was attacked by the river and was forced into the river or something, doesn't it?
Well, and also, if this attack was as violent as it sounds on that voicemail, there would be some marks on your body. There would be something to show.
Well, maybe it wasn't violent in that sense, but it was frightening to him, you know, and that's why he sounds the way he does. I think he was in the water. I think he was near to the water and he was getting pushed into the water is what I think. Who did that, I don't know. Those sounds, I don't think, are anything, you know, unnatural or supernatural. I think it's probably some kind of glitch on the phone, I think, but I don't know. Because I feel like they know more about this, but they just don't tell you, don't release the information. I mean, if those sounds are as bad as they sound to us, and they are kind of like some kind of supernatural sound, they're not going to release that, are they? Because everyone's going to be terrified, so they're going to hide that. I mean, they hide all kinds, don't they?
To this day, the case of Henry McCabe remains unsolved. The voicemail remains one of the most disturbing pieces of audio ever recorded in a missing persons case. His death was ruled an accidental drowning, but that explanation doesn't sit right with many who have analysed the case. What do you think happened to Henry McCabe? Was it truly an accident, or was there something much darker at play? When I'm doing the research to do these cases, I get weirdly excited because I like to do the mysterious ones, but then actually by the time we get to the story, I just end up annoyed.
Well, it's one of those cases again, isn't it, that you think about and you think you've come to a conclusion and then you start all over again because you really don't know the answer. And so at 3 o'clock in the morning, that's when I lie there thinking about these things.
Well, this happened in 2015, it's now 2025, so that's 10 years ago and there's still no answers in this case, like none.
Imagine how bad that must be for his family, though. You know, was there a crime committed or not? No one's even being prosecuted for it. And, you know, if that was your loved one, you'd think, wouldn't you? There's no way. If you listen to that audio recording, something's gone on there and you'd want to know what it was.
Well, I think it's safe to say I will be having nightmares about that voicemail tonight.
And the lesson in this case is, don't drink that much and get dropped off at a petrol station or anywhere else for that matter. Right, everyone, that's it for this week on Murder, Mother and Me.
Thanks for listening, and we hope to see you again next time.
And remember, if you can't do the time,
don't do the crime.